I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go, 6:13, Tuesday morning, October 22nd. The cool weather we had last week was a little unseasonable, so we're back more to the regular seasonable stuff. Bone dry, highs in 80, 82 range until next Wednesday, and that's what we got. So there you go. No real cold weather coming in, as far as I understand, from Chris Franklin, WWL chief meteorologist. And he also said that he was officially declaring a hurricane season over, that we're done, which means I'm going to Home Depot later on and get some plywood. Just kidding. Howard Gleckman joins us now, the senior fellow in the Tax Policy Center, to talk about the tax plans of both Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Morning, Tommy. How you doing?
I'm okay. You know, I was asking people before we came on, really, while we're going to have a serious conversation here, and we need to give the context, all of this depends on Congress and so forth, but I wonder if people are voting on personality or policy. Is there any research as to that, or do you know, Howard?
So I think the Trump voters are largely voting on personality. Mm-hmm. They love Donald Trump. Doesn't really matter what policies he espouses. The Harris people, I think, also are to some degree voting on personality. They're voting on Trump's personality.
Anti, right?
Right, that's right. This election, more than anything else, is really about Donald Trump. Do you want Donald Trump to be president or not? You know, Harris is a much smaller personality, and it sort of shows in the campaign. You know, we'll see whether or not her policy proposals, which are really quite extensive. You know, it's interesting. For a long time, she was being criticized for having no policy. She's actually proposed a lot of stuff. We'll see whether a lot it's caught on, whether voters have paid any attention, or whether they like what she has to say. We'll see.
Well, that's the politics part of it. Let's talk the policy part of it. It can be some complicated stuff. So, Howard, I'm just going to stand back, and if I have any questions that I think the audience would have, I'll jump in as you compare and contrast Harris and Trump on their tax policy.
Sure. So they both proposed a lot of stuff. And you know, it's campaign season. That's what you do if you're a politician.
You promise people
stuff, right? Absolutely. And they're both doing it sort of on steroids. More recently, Trump has been doing it more than she has, but they both got a lot of proposals. So to give you some kind of high-level differences between them, Harris is proposing things like extending and expanding the child tax credit, which is for low and moderate income families with kids. She's proposed expanding the earned income tax credit, which is another thing for low and moderate income working families. She's said that she is going to extend the provisions of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, that big 2017 tax bill, but only for people making $400,000 or less. People making more than $400,000 and corporations would pay more in taxes than they do today. So that's basically where Harris is going. Okay. Trump is proposing a wide range of very targeted tax breaks for all kinds of people. You know, he said he's going to exempt tip income from tax. Harris followed him in that one. He said he's going to exempt Social Security benefits from tax. The other day he was on the stump and he said he'd consider exempting income earned by first responders, military personnel, and veterans. That's 22 million people. He'd exempt their income from tax. He's also said he's going to cut the corporate tax rate to 20%, maybe to 15% for some corporations. All of that would probably cost $8 or $9 trillion over the next 10 years. It's an amazingly big number. He says he'd pay for it by repealing the energy provisions, the green energy provisions of the Inflation Reduction Act. You know, those are the tax credits for buying electric vehicles, stuff like that. That would save about $700 billion. So that'd get him about 10% of the cost.
$700 billion out of $8 or $9 trillion, or $7 or $8 trillion?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah, so it's about 10%. It's less than 10%, covered less than 10% of the cost. The other thing he would do, of course, is he says he's going to increase tariffs. Now, every time he's on the stump, he talks a different number. Sometimes he says he'd increase the tariffs by 10%, sometimes 20%. The other day on the stump he said 400%, 500%, 1,000%, doesn't make any difference. So we don't really know exactly what his tariff proposal is, but my colleagues at the Tax Policy Center modeled a proposal that would be a 10% worldwide tariff, a 10% tariff on every product that the United States imports, plus a 60% tariff on Chinese imports. And we estimated that that would raise about $2.8 trillion. So you add the $2.8 trillion and the $700 billion, and you get about $3.5 trillion. You're paying for 35 or 40% of what Trump is proposing. The question is, where's the rest of the money going to come from? Mm-hmm. Harris, on the other hand, is proposing probably a net increase in the debt of about $3 or $4 trillion. So it's still a huge amount of money, but compared to Trump, it's pretty modest.
So bottom line, we got Harris at 3 to 4, according to Tax Policy Center. Harris's plans would increase the debt $3 to $4 trillion. Trump, we're at what number?
Six or seven trillion.
Okay, pretty soon you're talking about real money, huh, Howard?
You're talking about real money, yeah. Right. You know, the interesting thing is, I remember when I was on with you a few weeks ago, we were talking about this, and you asked about the budget deficit. Mm-hmm. And the reality is nobody cares.
Nope.
You know, no politician is talking about it. The numbers just keep going up and up. And it's an interesting thing because people were so sensitive about interest rates a year or so ago because rates were so high. They were seeing it in car loans. They were seeing it in mortgage loans. And people were freaking out, and they're still mad about it. You know, both of these candidates have this package of proposals that are probably going to make interest rates higher again. Trump higher than Harris, but both of them would probably raise interest rates again. And nobody seems to notice. Everybody says, that's cool, I want to get my tax cut, so I don't really care about the rest of that stuff.
Have you seen, and I don't mean to delve into politics so much here, Howard, because I know you're a tax guy, but have you seen the showering of no taxes on this, no taxes on that from candidates like we have this campaign season? It just seems like crazy. Now you're talking about, what did you say that he said? If you're a public service employee,
if you're a first responder,
no taxes on your income at all.
Right, no taxes on your income at all. Yep, wow. Military personnel and veterans. There's 18 million, 19 million veterans out there, and he'd exempt their income from tax.
Wait, so if veteran, hang on a second. So he's saying that if a veteran is making $300,000 a year or $400,000 a year and has gone on and gotten their life just zooming, they're not going to pay any taxes? That's what he's saying?
That's what he's saying, yeah. Okay. So you think about a guy like J.D. Vance, who was a veteran when he served in the Marines, and then came out of the Marines and went to work for a private equity company. I don't know what he made, but it's, you know, probably north of what you were saying. You know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. Trump says, I'm going to exempt that from tax, from income tax. So, I mean, he, you know, we don't know what the proposal is. He just said, yeah, I think about that. Somebody asked him about it. He said, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. So, so you're just getting people throwing around ideas. You know, when I was in high school, which is a long time ago, we used to talk about people running for class president by promising to put Coca-Cola in the water coolers.
Yep.
And that's kind of what they're doing now. They're just promising anything to anybody because they're trying to get votes.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. Talking to Howard Gleckman, senior fellow in the Tax Policy Center, which is odd to me, is that normally, you know, people talk about wanting their country back. Some Republicans want their party back because back in the day, Republicans weren't as concerned with social issues as they were with fiscal issues and debt and deficit and government spending and responsible taxation, et cetera. And now you're talking about the Republican candidate promising stuff that would increase the debt $6 to $7 trillion. The Democratic candidate promising stuff that would increase the debt and deficit $3 to $4 trillion. At no point is anybody talking about this mountain that's getting ready to tip over. We're going to reach a tipping point on this. Nobody cares. And there's going to be a day of reckoning. We'll drill down. We come back. 621 traffic now, WWL.
From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. Bonnie Carey Spillway, LaPlace to Kenner do have light delay. As you enter the Spillway Bridge, eases pretty quickly. I-10 East Kenner to downtown New Orleans have light congestion around Veterans. Traffic remains clear to downtown from there. I-10 West New Orleans East to downtown, a slowdown begins in the Morrison Curve. Very heavy over to the high rise, have a stalled vehicle there. Downtown elevated and the flyover running at speed. Crescent City Connection wide open in both directions. Huey P. Long in the Causeway, no delays there. I-55 north and southbound free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. Traffic is sponsored by Thibodaux Regional Health System.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, on this Tuesday morning, starting off with Howard Gleckman, Senior Fellow in a Tax Policy Center, comparing and contrasting Harris's and Trump's tax plans. Harris's, they estimate, would cost $3 to $4 trillion, Trump's $6 to $7 trillion. Somebody texted in and said, stop foreign aid. That would balance the budget. Well, let me just give you an idea that in 2023, the United States spent $63 billion on foreign aid. A trillion, just so you know, is $1,000 billion. So there you go. Howard, somebody else texted in about closing the border would save trillions. Your response to that would be what?
So closing the border is going to mean that there are not going to be enough workers to do health care, to do construction, to do restaurants. That's not going to save money. That's going to cost money. That's going to slow the economy, and it's going to end up costing the U.S. economy a lot more money. The other thing is, if you close the border, a lot of those people who cross the border pay into Social Security and Medicare. They never collect. So actually, immigrants make the Social Security system stronger, not weaker. So if what you care about is the U.S. economy, closing the border is not a great idea. Now, making the border rational and not having, you know, hundreds of thousands of people crossing, you know, with no system for figuring out how many should stay here and how many shouldn't, that's a different story. But if what you're talking about is closing the border entirely and talking about what Trump is talking about, which is deporting 20 million people, that's not good for the economy or the budget deficit. That's actually bad.
See, I think, and what happens, Howard, is people throw everything in the same bucket and they don't realize that they got different buckets. So you can have a debate about immigration and border security, but you can't necessarily tie that into the economy and presume that 1 + 1 = 5, right?
No, that's right. That's exactly right. You know, what you were talking about before is really interesting. You know, Republicans before Trump, you know, it was pretty easy to understand what Republican economic policy was. It was low taxes, it was less regulation, it was free trade, and it was actually pro-immigration. You know, now with Trump, all of that is flipped. You know, Trump wants low taxes, but not low tax rates necessarily. He's looking for special interest tax breaks for specific constituencies so he can get elected. He's now against free trade. You know, regulation is interesting. He wants to reduce some regulation. He's going to put Elon Musk in charge of that. But he also wants to increase some regulation. So it's hard to quite understand where Trump fits in the traditional Republican Party, but it's not the kind of Republican I used to know. Harris, on the other hand, is a very kind of standard Democrat. She's sort of, you know, interchangeable with every Democrat over the last 40 years, with maybe the exception of Bill Clinton, who was more moderate. But she's a left-of-center, kind of standard pro-government Democrat.
I don't care who sleeps with who, but I'm looking at this national debt clock at $35 trillion and rapidly increasing. Quick word about tariffs, Howard, if you would. Who pays for tariffs?
American consumers pay for tariffs. End of story. It's not China. It's not foreign governments. It's American consumers. Tariffs are collected by American businesses that import companies, and they pass almost all of it on to their consumers. We have evidence of this. We've seen it when Barack Obama imposed tariffs. We saw it when Trump imposed tariffs in his first term. We've known this for 400 years. When you raise tariffs, consumers pay the tariff. And that's going to, again, increase prices. Doesn't seem like that's something people want.
Thank you, Howard. Appreciate your time, as always. Senior Fellow at the Tax Policy Center. We'll talk with Ted Ross when we come back. Bank rate Senior Industry Analyst. 83% of holiday travelers changing plans because of inflation. What about you? 504-260-1870. Has inflation caused you to change your holiday travel plans? I never go anywhere, so it doesn't really bother me. WWL First News Time, 6:30.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.